Hello everyone, welcome to Smorgasbord on the regular. When the cost of intelligence spikes nearly 50% in a single year, do we simply pay the toll, or do we stop asking what we can afford to know? The price of a single NVIDIA Blackwell chip rental sits at $4.08 per hour. This figure marks a departure from the previous year, representing a 48% increase in the cost of intelligence. Such a number serves as an anchor in a rapidly shifting economic landscape, where the marginal cost of computation has ceased its descent and begun its ascent. For decades, the trajectory of technology followed a path of infinite abundance, where software expanded without physical constraint. Now, the supply chain confronts the limits of silicon and energy. The GPU rental market, once fluid and accessible, has hardened into a gated structure where access correlates directly with capital. Anthropic restricts its newest model to roughly 40 organizations. This limitation is not merely a matter of technical capacity, but of strategic allocation. The era of abundant AI has passed, replaced by an epoch where compute power functions as a scarce resource, subject to the rigid laws of thermodynamics and manufacturing. The market operates under conditions where access is no longer guaranteed by innovation alone, but by the ability to pay the premium for the underlying hardware. NVIDIA establishes the baseline cost, but the implications ripple outward to the structure of the industry. When the largest technology companies confront constraints on their supply chain, startups face a proposition that demands significant adjustment. Relationship-based selling replaces open availability. State-of-the-art models no longer reside in the public domain, but become gated privileges reserved for profitable or strategic customers. The highest bidder acquires the most sophisticated tools. This dynamic creates an inflationary commodity where prices rise as demand compounds against a fixed supply. Procurement and margin management become key disciplines in software companies, replacing the earlier focus on pure innovation. Developers, once free to experiment with bleeding-edge tools, must now look elsewhere. They turn to smaller models, on-premise deployments, or local inference until energy infrastructure and data center buildouts catch up. This transition takes years, and the record indicates it will remain so for a significant duration. The scarcity reshapes the nature of access, creating a stratified market where the top tier operates with different rules than the rest. The physical limitation of energy imposes a boundary on digital expansion, grounding the abstract concept of compute in the reality of fuel. The Wall Street Journal reported in April 2026 that AI is using so much energy that computing firepower is running out. This statement captures the tension between the desire for infinite processing and the finite nature of the physical world. The United States faces energy constraints while China faces compute power limitations. The entity that solves its limitation first will end the scarcity era. Until that moment arrives, the market operates under conditions of artificial scarcity. Some argue that supply can scale, pointing to the fact that no one spins up a whole fab to address a 3-month spike. AI demand is not a temporary change. Models are getting more efficient, with DeepSeek V3 costing 1/10 of contemporary ChatGPT. Open-weight models get more runnable or smarter every month, yet the cutting edge remains the cutting edge, and scarcity is real. Model selection must adjust to fit the available resources, just as a driver adjusts speed to the fuel gauge. In this environment of constraint, the value of mediocrity rises, redefining the utility of average output. The concept of an average work, once dismissed as insufficient, becomes the primary resource for the majority of tasks. Large language models have eaten the world by first targeting creative fields. They made everyone capable of publishing an average text with some average ideas for an average audience, where average was previously expensive in terms of time and effort. Average became cheap, software now receives the same treatment. Bets exist high on everything text, and based on descriptive textual semantics, intellectual property, legal work, translation, and even film production face the same average treatment. There is nothing inherently negative about average stuff. It sits, by definition, in the middle of the normal distribution of things. It is remarkable that anyone can now create average things, whereas before they had to fight hard for subpar results. They now settle for average, or attempt to think better. The baseline has shifted, making the median output the standard for general consumption. This democratization of the average applies to data analysis as well, transforming how organizations interact with their own information. Intuitive knowledge of what one wants from data is much higher than average. One knows what is in an organization's data, and can feel what is hidden in it. Most people do not write SQL well, do not understand syncing strategies intuitively, and do not know how to generate charts nicely. Large language models perform incredibly, averagely well at all of that. A data platform designed to be operated by LLM agents connects sources and allows conversation in plain language. The agent writes the SQL, runs the queries, creates the charts, and publishes the results. The platform deals with the average. The human deals with the thinking. The scenario involves transactional data from Stripe and an email campaign from HubSpot. The goal is to determine if the campaign increased the average basket or the number of customers. The tool bridges the gap between technical complexity and business questions. In the past, attribution models required significant effort, often serving as a way to prove usefulness to a manager. These models involved complex calculations regarding last click, first click, or weighted attribution. Nobody knows the true answer. Everybody gives up and adds the data to a dashboard, pretending it makes sense. Now one can describe the joins and correlations in plain English and get the chart at the end. The process connects sources, syncs them, and displays schemas and row counts. One asks the model if the email moved the needle on revenue. The agent runs the query without requiring an attribution model or a whiteboard. The result shows that the email cohort has a 46% higher average basket. One did not write a single line of SQL. One did not set up an attribution model. One asked a question in English and got a table. The effect decays over 3 weeks. Week 1 shows a 50% average basket increase. Week 4 shows 15%. The campaign worked, then faded. One knows this now without a data team. The SQL is average. The joins are average. The chart is average. It took less than 5 minutes. That is the entire point. One needed a query written fast on data already owned. The LLM wrote it. One confirmed it made sense. The manager got a link. Average is magic. This reliance on the average challenges the notion of differentiation, raising the question of human value in a system that automates the median. If average is all one needs, then anyone can do it. What value does an employee add? How does an employee differentiate themselves? Why did the boss not ask the AI for the charts to begin with? Everyone's income is going to be below average because they got fired. A car that starts 50% of the time is insufficient. A plane that stops on 50% of the flights is unacceptable. A pacemaker that beats only 50% of the time is dangerous. Average is all one needs only if the needs are average. Tasks that used to be a day or two of grunt work are now an hour with an agent. Something in there should try to be exceptional, or else there is no moat. The agent will not breeze through that part with the same amount of ease. The majority of developers are average. This is not a shocker. But thinking about data and how to check it is annoying. It is much better to do something average, see if the result puts one in a good light, and share that insight into the company's working. Rarely has a service advertised helping to create meaningless slop more easily. Adding LLMs to the incompetent does not transform them, it makes the world more dangerous. A reckoning is coming. The top decile will be janitors for the rest. The technical implementation of these systems reveals the underlying architecture of efficiency, mirroring the economic constraints in code. In the context of web development, managing application state involves reacting to changes for a given value. Values are not directly observable. Solutions typically work around this by storing values in a variable and continuously checking to see if they have changed. This approach is cumbersome and not ideal for performance. Ideally, one wants a way to express a value that signals when it changes. Signals fulfill this function. At its core, a signal is an object with a property that holds a value. This has an important characteristic. A signal's value can change, but the signal itself always stays the same. When a signal is passed down through a tree as props or context, only references to the signal move. The signal can be updated without re-rendering any components. Components see the signal and not its value. This allows the system to skip expensive rendering work and jump immediately to any components that actually access the signal. Signals track when their value is accessed and when it is updated. Accessing a signal's property from within a component automatically re-renders the component when that signal's value changes. This mechanism provides excellent ergonomics and productivity while eliminating the most common state management footguns, ensuring stability. Signals are effective in applications of any size. The ergonomics speed up the development of small apps, and performance characteristics ensure apps of any size are fast by default. A signal will only update if one assigns a new value to it. If the value assigned is equal to the current value, it does not update. This optimization prevents unnecessary recalculations. A to-do list app requires a signal that holds a list of to-dos. A second signal connects to an input element. The logic adds a to-do item to the list and clears the input value on add. The logic checks if it is correct by simulating the scenario. When the signal updates, the list grows. The ability to remove a to-do item from the list requires a function that deletes a given to-do item from the array. The UI wires up the application state to interactable elements. Each to-do item can be checked off as completed, and the user sees the number of items completed. A computed signal lets one create a new signal based on the values of other signals. The returned computed signal is read-only, and its value automatically updates when any signals accessed from within the callback function change. Deriving as much state as possible ensures that the state always has a single source of truth, a key principle of signals. This makes debugging easier in case there is a flaw in application logic later, as there are fewer places to worry about. For larger apps, state can be extracted into a function. Tests typically involve changing values in app state to reproduce a certain scenario, then passing that state to components and asserting on the rendered HTML. Separating data from functions that modify it often helps simplify application architecture. Context allows any component in the tree to access the state. If there are multiple components that require access to the same pieces of state, the state goes into context. This avoids passing state manually through each component via props. Local state with signals exists where components have their own internal state, specific to that component. There is no reason for this state to live as part of the app's global business logic. It should be confined to the component that needs it. Hooks construct a signal the first time a component runs and use that same signal on subsequent renders. The concept of batching combines multiple updates into one commit at the end of a callback, improving performance. Batches can be nested, and changes flush only after the outermost batch callback completes. Accessing a signal modified within a batch reflects its updated value. Accessing a computed signal invalidated by another signal within a batch recomputes only the necessary dependencies. Any other invalidated signals remain unaffected and update at the end of the batch callback. Models provide a structured way to build reactive state containers that encapsulate signals, computed values, effects, and actions. They offer a clean pattern for organizing complex state logic while ensuring automatic cleanup and batched updates. As applications grow in complexity, managing state with individual signals becomes unwieldy. Models solve this by bundling related signals, computed values, and actions together into cohesive units. This makes code more maintainable, testable, and easier to reason about. Encapsulation groups related state and logic together. Automatic cleanup prevents memory leaks. Automatic batching ensures optimal performance. Composability allows models to nest. Reusability allows models to accept initialization parameters. Testability allows models to be instantiated and tested in isolation. The intersection of these technical realities with the economic constraints of AI suggests a broader pattern of efficiency. The scarcity of compute necessitates a shift toward efficiency, mirroring the efficiency found in state management. Just as signals avoid unnecessary re-renders, the future of AI must avoid unnecessary compute. The reliance on average outputs aligns with the technical preference for derived states that do not require deep re-rendering of the underlying truth. When the cost of intelligence rises, the value of the median output increases. The ability to generate a chart in 5 minutes using average SQL is a victory of efficiency over precision. The precision of the frontier model comes at a cost that the average task cannot justify. The Preact documentation illustrates a philosophy of minimal overhead. Signals track changes only when necessary. They do not poll for updates. They do not re-render the entire tree. They update only what changes. This principle applies to the broader economy of AI. The market will not sustain the inefficiency of using frontier models for tasks that require only average intelligence. The record indicates that constraints lead to innovation, driving development in local hardware and smaller models. Harness design and small models will get dramatically better now that companies have an incentive to focus on them. There is tremendous low-hanging fruit in both areas. The current inference system is on a down slope. It remains to be seen what new wave of AI system will replace it, making the whole current architecture obsolete. Meanwhile, companies milk the current architecture in the name of scarcity. Open-weight models are 6 months to a year behind state-of-the-art. If one were building a company a year ago based on what AI could do then, one could build a company today with models that run locally on a user's computer. Yes, that may mean requiring customers to buy desktops with GPUs. If the product actually improves productivity by any reasonable amount, the purchase cost is quickly made up for. For anything short of full computer control or writing code, the latest model will do fine. One can get a customer service voice chatbot running in 8 GB of RAM plus a couple of gigs more for the ASR and TTS engine. It will be more powerful than the hundreds of millions spent on chatbots that were powered by GPT-4X. This is like arguing the age of personal computing was over because there were not enough mainframes for people to tell it into. It misses the point. Yes, deployment and management of personal PCs was harder than dumb terminal plus mainframe, but the future was obvious. The consolidation of compute power in the hands of a few entities creates a dependency that mirrors the dependency on global state in software architecture. When state lives in a single context, any component accessing it is subject to the rules of that context. If the context changes, all components update. In the AI market, if the price of GPU rentals rises, all applications depending on those GPUs feel the cost. The valuation of AI companies seeks return. All that investment is seeking return. Developers and software companies are the only serious users because they review output out of culture and necessity. Anywhere else, these models are not as useful. Revenue from software companies will not bring returns to the trillion-dollar valuations. There is a hole in the bucket in the form of open-weight models. When squeezed further, software companies would either deploy open-weight models or resort to writing code by hand. Eventually, the return on investment might not be what venture capitalists expect. Constant losses might lead to bankruptcies. All that build out of data centers would suddenly look for someone to rent that compute capacity. The result is a dime a dozen open-weight model providers with generous usage tiers to capitalize on available compute capacity, owners of which have gone bankrupt and cannot use it anymore. They want to liquidate it as much as possible to recoup investment. This cycle of overinvestment and subsequent liquidation mirrors the software lifecycle of features that are built, used, and then discarded. The Signals library offers a way to manage this lifecycle through effects and cleanup functions. Effects run arbitrary code in response to signal changes. If the callback returns a function, that function runs before the next value update. This allows the system to clean up side effects and potentially reset state for the subsequent trigger of the callback. One can destroy an effect and unsubscribe from all signals it accessed by calling the return function. This prevents memory leaks and ensures the system does not consume more memory than needed. The same logic applies to the economic system. When the return on compute investment fails, the market must liquidate the excess capacity. The cleanup function of the market is bankruptcy. The effects of the bubble burst are the liquidation of data centers. The memory leak of the economy is the wasted energy and capital. The transition from scarcity to abundance is not guaranteed. The age of abundant AI is over and will remain so for years. Energy scarcity will drive more innovation in local silicon and local inference. Apple might be the unexpected beneficiary of this reality. The limitation of the ON² algorithm in transformers suggests the limits are structural. Not everyone can afford the scaling. The beginning of scarcity in AI marks the beginning of big companies being able to roll over small companies with more money. The trend of scarce AI will go towards that direction. But the long-term trend depends on whether AI gets good enough to nearly entirely replace humans or solve cooperation. Until then, the scarcity remains. The average is all one needs. The average is magic. The signals manage the change. The market adjusts, the cost rises, the efficiency improves, the cycle continues. The record indicates that the path forward is not infinite expansion but managed contraction. The ability to create average things is a resource. The ability to manage state efficiently is a resource. The scarcity of compute makes these resources more valuable. The final implication of this convergence is the revaluation of human effort, shifting value to the edges of the distribution. When average work is cheap, human effort must move to the edges of the distribution. The value of the exceptional rises. The value of the average falls. The average becomes the baseline. The signals manage the baseline. The frontier models manage the exceptional. The two layers coexist. The scarcity of the frontier makes the average layer more attractive. The efficiency of the average layer makes it more scalable. The technical architecture of signals supports this scalability. The economic architecture of scarcity supports this separation. The future of intelligence is not a single monolithic entity. It is a stratified system where the top is gated and the bottom is open. The average is the bulk of the system. The signals keep the average running smoothly. The scarcity keeps the top exclusive. This arrangement persists until the physical limits are overcome. Until then, the market operates under these constraints. The price of $4.08 per hour is the new normal. The average is the new standard. The signals are the new mechanism. The essay ends here, but the thought opens somewhere new. The question of whether the average is enough for survival in a scarce world remains. The evidence suggests it is enough for most. The frontier is for the few. The middle is for the many. The middle is where the signals live. The middle is where the work happens. The middle is where the value is. The middle is average. The average is all one needs. The scarcity ensures it. The technology enables it. The market confirms it. The physical limits enforce it. The energy constraints sustain it. The compute limits maintain it. The silicon limits preserve it. The future is average. The future is efficient. The future is managed. The future is scarce. The future is signals. The future is average. The average is all one needs. The scarcity ensures it. The technology enables it. The market confirms it. The physical limits enforce it. The energy constraints sustain it. The compute limits maintain it. The silicon limits preserve it. The future is average. The future is efficient. The future is managed. The future is scarce. The future is signals. The future is average. A diary entry from June 23, 2025, records a calculation regarding the cost of text-to-speech generation versus storage. The entry questions the speed of generating audio files and the expense relative to holding them in a database. It considers 17,000 articles as a threshold, asking if the volume makes storage the more expensive option compared to on-the-fly creation. The writer wonders if ephemeral caching solves the problem, noting that the files will be downloaded to a phone regardless. This micro-decision mirrors the macroeconomic shift described in the main narrative. The choice between generating compute-intensive audio on demand or storing pre-rendered versions is a question of resource allocation. It reflects the tension between the cost of processing power and the cost of memory. In a world where compute is scarce, the decision to generate or store carries weight. The diarist treats the question as a puzzle of efficiency, weighing the speed of generation against the permanence of storage. The underlying theme is the same, the optimization of limited resources. The diary captures the personal scale of the economic reality where every cycle of processing power has a price tag. The uncertainty in the entry matches the uncertainty in the market. The writer seeks a balance between convenience and cost, a balance that the broader industry is also seeking as energy constraints tighten. The entry circles back to the central theme of scarcity. The future depends on finding the most efficient path through these constraints. The diary does not answer the question, but it highlights the friction. The friction is the cost of intelligence. The cost is real. The cost is rising. The cost is the new normal. We mistake compute costs for value. Forgetting scarcity truly defines our human limits. That's Smorgasbord on the regular for today. Find the essay and sources at Inertia Podcast, Pages, Dev. Until next time.